Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, hello and welcome to Liverpool Five Times podcast here in Heswell in Gusto as usual for the boys over on the world. I'm here with Mark Wright. We're just going to talk about the shock news, if it's a shock, of Brendan Rodgers' departure from Liverpool. Is it the right decision? That's what we're here to talk about. Righty, what do you think?
Do you know what, John? I think it's been coming for a while, if I'm being honest. I don't think performances have been a top class. I think they've been indifferent, and I think the players have to look at themselves as well for being majorly inconsistent and not getting on top of their own game. There has been a few injuries. I saw Brendan's quotes last night that said that it's a club and a team in transition. At the end of the day, you know, you get judged, don't you, JB? If you've been here 3 years and you've spent £300 million. I know they recoup money on Sterling and Suarez, but they weren't his players. And I think the judgment comes out to say, were they a better team 3 years ago than they are today after spending £300 million? And I think the answer probably, JB, is no, they're not. Do I think it's a shock? I think the timing and letting him bring staff in and spending £70 odd million again, you know, and then getting rid of him so quickly, you know, into the new season, I think is a bit of a shock because, you know, it caused a lot of unrest.
Well, as far as whether it's the right decision or not, I mean, obviously it's debatable, but I think that the surprising thing is, as you say, the timing of it. And of course, what that leads me to believe, and because obviously we've seen it now over the last couple of days with Jurgen Klopp, is the fact that I think Liverpool felt that had they waited, maybe somebody else, another top team may have sat their manager, and then Jurgen Klopp would have gone to another club.
Yeah.
And that's why we've actually seen Jose Mourinho today on Sky saying that he spoke to Jurgen Klopp and he said he wasn't coming to Chelsea, so that made him, obviously. With Klopp and Ancelotti, the two names, I think Liverpool really, you know, decided that now is the time to do it. Interestingly, a decent performance, I thought, 1-1 against Everton. Would they have done it after beating Everton?
My look at that take on the Everton performance, JB, was, as chance for chance, you're talking about goal-scoring opportunities. You know, Naismith should have scored when he's marked, you know, inside the penalty area, towards goal, free header. That can't happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mignolet makes a good save, and he makes another good save just after that, doesn't he, when he pushes one past the post. Other than that, did Liverpool, if are we looking at the chances that Liverpool made, did they deserve to really be in the game? Did they play as well is what they should in them sort of
things. I think a draw was a fair result. I don't think that Everton, and even Evertonians, my brother knows a big Evertonian, and then people looking at that game will say it wasn't a bad performance. Yes, no. Mignolet made a couple of good saves. Yeah. Liverpool had more attempts on goal in the first half. So, you know, just going back to that game, 1-1 is a fair result. So, but the point I'm trying to make is that if they had decided to do this, would he have had a stay of execution had they beaten them 3-0? We don't really know.
No.
But obviously, you know, that's by the by, and my take on anything football-wise, anything to do with Liverpool being a supporter, is that now that he's not here anymore, I'm going to support the club, as I always have. I thought the fans should have done better. I thought the players should have done better in the support of Brendan, as I've always supported him, being the manager of the club. And now I'm going to support the new manager no matter who it is, and I think it's important for the fans to do that. If it's Jurgen Klopp coming in, he's talking about bringing his staff as he likes, and now there are rumours that Gary McAllister and Sean O'Driscoll have been sacked as well. Is that a bit harsh?
Do you know, I thought it was harsh that Marshy went in the summer, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I think that was a real bad decision, especially the way it was conducted. And Marsh has not spoke about it, but everybody knows behind the scenes, and we don't need to be talking about that too many times. But if they have gone, why bring in new management, maybe, for such a short period of time and then get rid of them? You know, that's unfair on Gary McAllister, that's for sure, because we all know him and he's a great lad and he'll do anything to be part of Liverpool. So that if it's true, then that's a shock.
But to be honest with you, this is modern football. Obviously, at the start of the season, with giving Brendan the money to spend and bringing in the two new members of staff, that leads me to believe that Liverpool really hoped, the hierarchy, that things would turn around. Because, of course, with Gary McAllister and Sean O'Driscoll coming in, as far as they're concerned, Liverpool are going to be challenging in the top four. We are going to be at the right end. So bring them in, yes. And obviously, once the decision is taken for Brendan to go, knowing that Jurgen Klopp's going to bring his own men in, this is what modern football is all about. So it's not a question of why bring them in, because I think they had to bring them in if they felt that they were going to help Brendan Rodgers to be in the top four. And now that Brendan isn't there anymore, unfortunately, and we've been involved in football, you know, the talk of the whole staff clearing out, that what's happened, which isn't may not be right, but this is what modern football is.
They must have gone to him and said, listen, things aren't working with them staff, and things aren't really, without the result at the end of the season, you know, against Stoke, they weren't happy. Now, there's a choice to make. Either you can all go or bring in replacements. I think he was given, to me, it sounds like it's an ultimatum in there. So he saved his own skin, brought some new staff in, but that wasn't really good decisions from the hierarchy, in my opinion. Really, what they should have done was to say, listen, let's make a decision before this season starts. Everyone knew that he was coming to an end, and if Brendan wasn't the man, I think Brendan's a good coach. I really do think he's a good coach, but there's a different mentality and a different strength you need when you're a manager of Liverpool Football Club, and it's been proven over the years. What I'd like to see, JB, is some stability within the club, like you had when you were there. You know, it was always went from Shankly to Paisley to Fagan to you know, and they always had people behind the scenes. Then people behind the scenes didn't go. Now we keep chopping and changing everything, and I don't know if it's a good thing. I think Klopp would be a good acquisition. I really do.
But I don't think that we can say it was inevitable, because of course at the start of the season, first three games, and if you had continued to play well, so I don't think that you looked at it at the start of the season and say it's just an accident waiting to happen. We knew if results weren't right, it would happen, but I don't think at the start of the season, before the first ball's kicked, that Liverpool Football Club were thinking, well, you know, we're going to get rid of him anyway, so why not get rid of him then? I think they really hoped that it would have worked, and when it didn't work, they took that decision. So I think, and the thing with me is that if you look at Lam when we finished second in the league, and this is where you have to empathise slightly with him and Liverpool,
yeah,
is that when you talk about why we were so good 2 years ago, was because of Suarez,
correct,
Coutinho, Sterling, Sturridge. There is no Suarez, there is no Sturridge, because he's been injured for the last 8 months.
Yep.
Sterling is gone, Gerrard is now gone as well, and Coutinho is the only one left.
Yep.
So, and when people talk about, and you mentioned it, and I heard Jamie Carragher talking about it as well, you know, he spent 300 million. I will say this now, and I've said it for the last 5 years, and I will continue to say it, and this is the most important thing for me. It does not matter how much money you spend. What guarantees you, there's no guarantee, but what will guarantee you success is the salaries you pay. Because Chelsea won the league by signing Costa and Fabregas, 200 grand a week, allied with their players that they have. That gives them the star quality. Now, if we're going to, we have no control on transfer fees, because what you have to do to get a player who commands a fee because of his ability of 100 grand a week is to spend £30 million. So you can end up like Tottenham and us, spending £250 million and not improving. So the whole idea that he's had lots of money to spend, if he had Liverpool who are going to pay the salaries whereby you can get players like Costa and Fabregas and whoever else who commands his ability commands a fee of £250,000 a week, that's when we'll see improvement. So I think if you look at our team that we actually have, which is a very, very good team, I think the best we can hope for is to be challenging for fourth position.
Yep.
And I think if Brendan had stayed, we'd be challenging for fourth to sixth. That's what we'll be doing. Klopp coming in, do you think he can win us the league with this squad that we actually have?
No.
Or anybody coming in? So what has to happen is we have to stick with Jurgen Klopp if it's going to be him now, and recognise that until the dynamics change, and you can't blame the owners, because the owners can't be expected to compete with Manchester City, who have much more money than them, to then say, and it's not transfer fees, I'm talking about salaries, to say let's pay the players that money. So I empathise also with the owners, because the fans are saying it's now for FSG. I heard Jamie Carragher talking about time for the owners now, because they have spent a lot of money. But until you're going to start giving those salaries, which should they do? I don't think they should.
You know when I look at it, JB, I've got to be honest, is that if you go through the players that have been bought, and we could sit here now, and the fans could sit, you know, sit here, and we could all have a big debate, which ones of his buys of that 300 million are a major success and could go and play and then step onto another big team? And my answer is, I know people may have a different thing, I'm saying you've got to look at how consistent they are, how good they are. When they say give them time to fit into a team, you didn't need time, JB, to fit into a team.
I came as a 6-year international footballer. I'm not coming as a young man. And I'm right here. I agree with you to a certain extent, but where I disagree with you slightly is that all clubs do this. Chelsea bought Luis Felipe. They bought Juan Cuadrado.
Yeah.
Where are they?
No.
The point I'm making is that when you buy players like that and you have to spend 30 million on these players, but the quality is not a £250,000 a week quality, it's a £100,000 a week quality, you are hoping that it works. There's no guarantee. So they're not different to Tottenham, to any club who can't get that type of player. So as much as we're talking about Brendan and the buys he's made, every other top club has done the same thing.
JB, I'm not having a go at, this isn't ever having a go at Brendan. What I'm worried about is if there is at the football club a transfer committee and it's not Brendan's 100% decision to bring in whoever, then that's a worry to me. Because, you know, I'm not, this is not against Brendan, because I think Brendan maybe have been taken down that path and say, listen, you're buying youngsters, right, go and find this, go and find that, go and find the other, and then they send him off on loan to maybe grow up like Origi did. He went back to, you know, to original club. That worries me, Jay, because you know what, if you're talking about a top club, like you're saying, I agree, go and buy two or three top players, bring them in, don't keep bringing loads
so
and loads of kids in.
So top players that you want to buy, if Man City come in for them, are they going to go to Liverpool or Man City? Well, are they going to go to Chelsea? You cannot buy them if they don't want to come, right? That's the point I'm making. And even when you talk about, even if Brendan had sole carte blanche over players coming in, they still aren't coming to Liverpool. They are not. So it's not as if, okay, Brendan would want Messi, but he's not coming, or Ronaldo, any other top players, they're not going to come to Liverpool. And I've been saying this to Liverpool fans, it is nothing against me against Liverpool, this is the situation, and Brendan cannot be held accountable for that. So I think that with Jurgen Klopp, the slight difference is that he may know some good young German players. Maybe, I don't know whether Royce will may feel that he's too good for Liverpool, or maybe Gundogan. However, he may have an idea as to the players coming in. But in terms of any player coming to Liverpool, even if Brendan had complete control, he still will not be able to get the best players.
No, I get that, and I'm agreeing with that, John. But the time when we finished second in the league and Suarez was still around and Steven was still around, that's the time to go and appoint, go and get two major signings in within the door.
Well,
that helps you.
Give them $300,000 a week, they'll come.
No, listen.
Forget major signings.
No, I
forget whether you're in the Champions League, writer. You know as well as I do, players will come for the money. And if they're not prepared to play that money, it doesn't really matter.
No, well, that makes you sad, doesn't it?
It does, but that's the way it is. So, you know, I'm looking at Jurgen Klopp coming in, and the fact that, you know, and there's talk about Ancelotti, Jurgen Klopp. I think Klopp will probably be a better fit.
Yeah, I do.
I think Ancelotti, where he's worked, had the best players at Real Madrid, the best players at Chelsea, the best players at Juventus. Whereas I think that, you know, in terms of working with a team who probably aren't the best players, being a hungry manager who wants to prove something, I think Klopp would be a good fit if it's him. A lot of people feel the writing was on the wall at the start of the season, or at the end of last season, when he lost Mike Marsh and Colin Pascoe. And he stayed. And I don't, for one, believe that was his decision to get rid of them. But from that point of view, I thought that he was grossly undermined, and people looking from the outside would have probably thought that, you know, the writing's on the wall for you if they get rid of your staff.
I don't believe. I believe that, JB. I don't think it was his decision to get rid of them. Not with Pascoe, who's been everywhere with him. It's like his best mate. So that's come from above, from whoever that is, and I think that's unfair. And like people say, like you would say, JB, is that, why would people walk when you're at a club like Liverpool? You don't walk away. I mean, people do say about, you know, like, why would he walk away from a big payoff? Because if he resigns and walks away, then he gets nothing. It's not just about that. It's the everything that goes with it. You want to succeed at a club like Liverpool. And I think that's his hunger. And I think he had a lot of hunger, you know. I think he wanted to succeed. I think he wanted to make sure everything was right. I think he liked the players that he was bringing in and was trying his best. And like you say, I don't think he was back to the hilt on a lot of things. And I've always said, this committee, were the, all the players that came in, were they all his decision? Because if they're not, then that's not right. That's not fair, because they're not fitting into his plan.
Well, let's talk about, you know, this transfer committee. And from a club perspective, I'm not a big fan of this, because, of course, fans want to know everything. Fans want to know everything about clubs. And I saw with Arsenal, one of the pressmen was saying to Arsene Wenger that he is accountable to the fans to name the players and explain why he puts them in what position, which I don't think he is. He's accountable for results. So is the club accountable in terms of letting the fans know who the transfer committee are? I don't think that serves any purpose whatsoever, if they have one. I don't believe they should have one, but should there be open and transparent about who the committee are? I think in terms of accountability, yes, but not in terms of, you know, the fans need to know who's making the signings. What do you think?
Do I think they need to know? I think once something comes out, JB, and they say that there is a transfer committee, because we're all nosy and we're all inquisitive, who is it then?
We want to know. We want to know. Do you think the club have a right to tell people who the transfer committee are?
I think if they were, what have they got to hide? I mean, if they are making these decisions, then say why they're making the decisions. Why are they going against? Or why are they maybe overruling management? What's the point of having a manager then, just a coach, when really it should be his choice about who comes in?
But although they have said that, they have said, although there's a transfer committee, the manager has the final say, so that's what they've said. And I suppose from the club's point of view, that should be good enough. The manager has the final decision.
Or do they, on the other token, JB, on the other hand, do they turn around and say, you know, if Brendan really fancied someone, and then they look at someone and say, oh, he's too much money, you know, or we don't really fancy him, do they then say, no, Brendan, you can't have him? So they might do that as well. I think that has happened.
But I think depending on whether it's too much money or not, that the club have every right to say no. I don't think they would have a right to then say, no, we don't fancy him because we don't believe his left foot's as good as his right foot. But and I suppose that is probably why transfer committee is coming from a financial point of view, because we know the financial ramification of clubs now, whereby managers would want the best players and say, pay them whatever they want. So to curtail that, I think the club has every right to then have an input into who doesn't come to the club, not who does come to the club.
Well, I mean, that makes perfect sense. But I must be old school, JB, and I just say, listen, every decision is management. Otherwise, don't have a manager. What's the point? You can have a director of football, and you can have a good coach out there, and then he can pick the side and everything. But you're doing as you're told. I don't particularly agree with that. I think you, as an individual, when you're in management, your players and the shape you play and the heart that you play with comes from the management, and it's how you want, and it's your personality that goes over on that team. So if you're not allowed to bring in the players that reflect your personality, I don't think it
works. Now let's just look at a couple of things former players have said. And we mentioned Jamie before, and he said Liverpool are in danger of turning into Tottenham. We think we're a big club, but we're not anymore. One Carling Cup in 10 years is the only silverware we have.
Do you know what, John, we're a big club, we don't want to be anything but I understand Jamie's point, is that if you're selling players and you're not bringing in the right players at all times, and you said before that they've spent, what is it, 200 million or maybe more, and they aren't getting anywhere. Liverpool have turned out to be that way, and you know, you've got to hang on to the people like Suarez, you've got to hang on to the Sterlings. You know, they didn't have to get rid of him, and they could turn around and go, no, I mean, really, at the end of the day, just because, I mean, it used to be that the clubs held all the power, now it's the agents and the players, and I'm not getting it. I'm saying, hold on a second, listen, little fella, you ain't going nowhere. And if they lose out on him, as in money-wise, when it goes to his contract runs out, then so be it. But the bottom line of it is, use what you have, keep the players around you, and that includes Suarez. He signed a new contract. If you want to sulk, go and sulk. We ain't doing you no good. I just think keep them.
And is it doing the club any good when Suarez sulks and doesn't perform because he wants to go? And then the harmony within the club is not good. And Sterling stays. Righty, you are an old school. Righty, you're an old school, I'm old school.
Yeah.
You would have given him a rocket. I would have given him a rocket.
Yeah, right.
What we have to understand, that this is not what football is about anymore. And as much as people talk about, oh, you've got to keep them and make a point, and they're not going to go, that's fine. Let Brendan Rodgers do that. The harmony goes within the squad. They lose matches, he's going to get the sack. And he's going to lose 49 million. So we have to be realistic in terms of the expectations that we have and the reality of what modern football is. So just to answer Jamie's question about being a small club, Liverpool are a huge club. I work in Africa, I work in Southeast Asia, they're as big as any club in the world. What he actually says about us not being able to challenge for the Premier League and only winning one trophy is right. But in many respects, that is because of the unfair financial implications of football these days. You cannot compete with Paris Saint-Germain, Manchester City and Chelsea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
FSG cannot compete with them financially in terms of salaries, and people have to understand that. What has to happen, which is what Brendan Rodgers did say, and of course I'm reading what Graham Souness has said then, and he has hinted he never said it, but Graham Souness hinted he should never have got the job, his CV wasn't up to it. I don't remember anybody saying that when they finished second and nearly won the league. And it's very easy now that things haven't gone well to put the boot in and say, as a lot of fans are saying, I never liked him in the first place. This is what football's all about. I think a lot of people want to, you know, take a bit of a reality check and be a little bit more gracious, because I think he did a great job on the philosophy at a club like Liverpool, for me, whereby, and Klopp will have the same thing. Klopp isn't going to be given money to buy the best players. A, they're not coming to Liverpool. But if we work with him and we support him through thick and thin when things are maybe not going well, we can be successful. And that's the only way we're going to be successful. With Brendan Rodgers, without Brendan Rodgers. With Jurgen Klopp, without. Mm. If you're at Chelsea and you're going to say, right, Mr. Abramovich, or at Manchester City, here is, not forget about the money you spend in transfer fees, but you can go and get Messi and get Ronaldo. Then we can put pressure on them to take us where we want to go. If you can't, what we can do is we can support the situation as we will, and then therefore we can then challenge for a European place, a Champions League place. So, you know, I'm a bit, I'm not upset at him, but I think that a lot of people have to be more realistic, as do fans do, because the old expectations, and that's the hardest thing about Liverpool, the expectations of Liverpool, the expectations for us to be the top four, for me, as much as we finished second a couple of years ago, is for fourth spot, and I think we still can get fourth spot. Yeah. So do you think with Jurgen Klopp, we can actually go on and win the league with this team that we actually have?
No. I think we'll make I think we're so close to getting in that top four and making Champions League. I do, JB, and I think Brendan knew that as well. But I think pressure, when you see him from the end of last season or the beginning of this season to this point in time, he looked a different man. He looked a little bit of a worried man, and things were starting to get to him maybe, and he reacted to saying that old players were sniping for him and wanted him out. That comes with a job, just, you know, you just get on with it. I think Brendan was a good lad, did a lot of things right. I think he was a very, very good coach. But I'll always go back to this, JB, and I don't, it doesn't matter to me what anybody says, we as a club, since he's been in charge, have conceded too many easy, silly goals, and there's not one defensive coach from the kids to the top team. Set plays, the game has changed, they say to me, but it's not changed aerially. If you want to get cut on a bus nose and doing all that, JB, then you'll compete and things will not go in your box.
Modern players aren't doing that, right? But they got looking. I know you did, because,
but JB,
you know, I'm not
no,
saying,
but they
can, you know.
No, but hold a minute. The top teams, Mertesacker put his head in anywhere for Arsenal. Yeah, you're talking about John Terry and
but he can't run.
John
Terry
these
are old school. These are all old school players, right? Which young defenders do that now?
These are the ones that are winning things, JB, in this league. So get it in your own
side. 36 years old, they'll be finished. Which young player? This is the way football has gone, right? I know we want to go back to the 80s.
I know, JB. I know that seems like it's old school, but I'll tell you something, John. If you're conceded from set plays where the corner's free kicks and it's aerially, then put it right. You have to put it right, whether it's your line which you're holding or it's being competitive in the air. Now, no one will ever tell me that you can't put your head in and you shouldn't be aggressive and go and get after
right,
that ball.
Liverpool isn't there anybody else. No, but everybody concedes from that. So it's not as if Liverpool are worse than you. Watch football every Saturday. You see corners being scored at Leicester, Norwich, and everywhere. Mm. So that's not just Liverpool. This is modern football, isn't it?
No, but it's something that we care about, Jimmy. Yeah. We're talking about Liverpool. I'm not bothered about whether Chelsea do or
what
Spurs do.
But you're saying as if it's only Liverpool's problem that they do that, unless where Brendan has failed, because everybody does that.
No, but I'm saying
this is where football has failed, in my opinion.
When you look, but you look at Liverpool, the goals they've conceded, and where they're finishing, and the goals that they could stop conceding, which would win them games and lift them up the league.
Everybody said that.
No.
Every club says that.
They may do, but I'm saying, but they may have defensive coaches that aren't doing their job then. Liverpool has none. Now, someone needs to address that problem, and maybe Jurgen Klopp would be the man that says, hold on a minute, this ain't right, because people, you know, put their bodies on the line, and you have to do it, John. Yeah, if Liverpool can't buy the best, they got to defend better. And that gives them a chance to win games.
Right, we're now joined by Jonathan Northcroft from the Sunday Times. Thanks for coming on, Jonathan. We're not sure who the new man is going to be. Obviously, you know, Klopp may be the favourite, Ancelotti, but whoever it is, with the conditions, what will he be insisting on?
Well, he will be insisting, I think, on a bit more control than Brendan Rodgers had over transfer policy, first of all. That's become the sort of bone of contention for Liverpool managers under FSG. I think it affected Kenny as well, but under Brendan Rodgers' time, I think even more power went to the sort of hierarchy of the club through the transfer committee in terms of signing players. So I think if it's Jurgen Klopp, who's very well versed in all things Liverpool, he's been eyeing the job for some time, or if it's someone else, they will be aware of some of the challenges that Brendan faced in trying to mould a squad that was his own, and he wasn't able to have a say over all of the signings. And I think that'll be the first thing that any incoming manager will want to address. And the time to do it, of course, is when you're negotiating a contract. You know, the time to do it is up front when you're about to take a job, because what you don't want to do is take a job and then have to try and sort issues out with the board later on.
Right, and of course, I've been doing the Champions League in South Africa, so I've watched him regularly over the last 4 years. And of course, he's a very gregarious and effervescent type of guy, which will, of course, give the fans a lift. But in the dressing room, how will the players respond to him, do you think?
He seems to have a very, very close bond with his players. He seems to be, you know, one of those, maybe a touch of what Mourinho perhaps used to have with his Chelsea team, and maybe some other managers have had. He seems to be almost a father figure, a friend to some of the players. Part of his management is about getting players to run through brick walls and inspiring them and almost getting a personal loyalty from them. And the tales of him, you know, crying his eyes out when Kagawa left Dortmund to go to Manchester United, and, you know, couldn't sleep at night when Mario Götze went to Bayern Munich. I think that shows the closeness that he has had with players in his dressing room. Now, the only challenge, I suppose, is that although he speaks good English, it's not his first language, and he's got to try and build up those bonds in a different culture, with a different language. But he's got personal charisma, which helps. He's a big man, 6'4", big presence, big smile. And, you know, you'll know better than me, but I
sound like half right
there. You know what? I'm loving the way you're describing him, actually.
Although he's got more hair, than righty.
He's got a touch more.
Yeah, and of course, Dortmund have won 2 Bundesliga, a German Cup, Champions League final in his 7 years there. His last year may not have been particularly successful, but, you know, he comes with a good CV.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and he also did great stuff for FC Mainz, where he took them up to the Bundesliga, quite a small club. And when you look at the power of Bayern, to win the league twice and also to win the double, I think it was, to get to a Champions League final and come pretty close, with a club that's budget, I think, it was less than Queen's Park Rangers last.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty good stuff.
Right. So he's going to win us the league?
Yeah, because it's always that easy for Liverpool, isn't it? I mean, any Liverpool manager is facing a huge challenge because of the financial power of the clubs above. That's the problem. You know, it's a bigger job than even winning the league.
Yeah, but of course, we're talking about Jurgen Klopp, but of course we can't rule out Ancelotti. He's won 3 Champions Leagues. We're not going to win the European Cup, obviously, but do you think that, and I believe that Ancelotti, although he's a great manager and I think he would be good for Liverpool, he seems to have done his best work at clubs who have the best players. When he was at Chelsea doing the double, when he was at Real Madrid, Juventus. So therefore, is he more of a manager who would work with the best players, with the being the favourites tag and able to handle that? Do you think Ancelotti would be able to cope with a team like Liverpool who aren't the best, who haven't got the best players, but still with a huge expectation?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That's a great point. Ancelotti seems to have a real gift for being able to work with the top players, and not everybody can do that. You know, it takes a certain guy to be able to do that. He's brilliant at it, but has he really been able to do it, or has he been asked to do it with guys that, you know, what the job at Liverpool is to take some, I don't want to use the word average, but you know where I'm coming from, yeah, some almost average players and get them into a team that's somehow a great team. That's different to, you know, being in charge of Paolo Maldini and Andrei Shevchenko and Andrea Pirlo and getting a great Milan side, you know. But Ancelotti's he's got a lot of class as a man. I mean, I think you go down well with fans and the dressing room just because he's a classy guy. But it just Klopp just looks a better fit to me.
Well, of course, there's talk about Klopp and Ancelotti, but neither of them may work out depending on how negotiations go. So are there any other names that, you know, that if it's not going to be one of those two, any other potentials for the job?
Yeah, well, I mean, De Boer has been linked with it, and of course he's done a very, very good job with Ajax. He's still young. It's not long ago that he was in the dressing room himself as a player, and he's very sort of, you know, close to players himself, intelligent guy. Also, I think Unai Emery, the Sevilla coach, again, if you're looking at people who've done jobs at with clubs that aren't the richest clubs in their country, but have done great things with them. I mean, Emery has done really good things at Sevilla, and he's played some great football as well, beat Barcelona at the weekend. But I don't think his language skills are quite good enough. I don't think his English is great, so that would be a barrier to him. I'd be surprised if it wasn't, if the job doesn't at least get offered to Klopp. It looks like it's going to be his to turn down. And if he turns it down, then Ancelotti would be the man in waiting.
And this is now Brendan Rodgers. Obviously, he's gone. But I think that he left with a great deal of dignity because he didn't blame anyone, point fingers, and as much as, you know, I'm sure that he would have liked to. So he's left with a fair amount of dignity.
Yeah, he has conducted himself very well publicly, hasn't he, Brendan? And it's a shame because I feel that he was always a really good communicator and a good sort of very open guy. Had a very good rapport with the fans, and I think that did get lost towards the end of his reign. I mean, he stopped talking to the press as much as he used to. He stopped talking to the local media, to the Liverpool Echo, which is incredible when you think of a Liverpool manager not doing that. And I'm glad that actually, you know, in the end, he was able to put out that statement and a bit of class. Because I just felt in the last few weeks, you know, Brendan himself was maybe hiding a little bit. Maybe even people like Gary McAllister actually having to do his talking for him. And that was silly from Brendan's point of view because he is a good communicator. So as I say, that it's nice that he was able to show a bit of class with that statement.
Well, a lot of people may feel it's silly of him. I don't think it's silly of him because, of course, he knows that there are lots of people in the press who are after him. So I completely understand that. As much as the press want to say that, you know, you have to speak to us and you're speaking to the fans, obviously that's a different situation. But he did handle it with a lot of class. And of course, you were one of the ones to convince him to start talking to the papers again, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I actually saw him on Thursday night with a couple of other journalists just to ask if he would start speaking to the Sunday newspapers again. And he was very, you know, he was very decent, and he got a few things off his chest, said he felt really bruised by the way the boot was put into him. And I get that as well. Look, I'm not going to defend some of the over-the-top coverage towards the end of last season. And he said, look, I'll go away and I'll think about it and come back to you after the international break. And we actually were joking on Thursday night saying, will he still be there after the international break? And of course, he's not.
Now, do you think, from where he goes from here, do you think he'll get another job here or go abroad like David Moyes?
I mean, he's a really talented coach. And even if he'd never been manager of Liverpool, what he did at Swansea shows that he's a good coach. But to get another top club is difficult because it is difficult for British coaches to get top jobs. We know that from history. Look at someone like David Moyes who, after Manchester United, his options really were to go abroad or, you know, go for the sort of middle-ranking Premier League clubs like West Ham and West Brom and Sunderland. So I think it'll be the same for Brendan. I think he will either go to Spain or he'll have to go back down to the sort of level he was at Swansea and start again.
Okay, Jonathan, thanks very much, mate.
Pleasure there. Thanks a lot. Nice to talk to you, mate.
Well, a new era begins, righty. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers no more. New manager coming in. We assume it's going to be Jurgen Klopp. So what next, and where do Liverpool go from here? What are the immediate goals? Because as much as it is not an ideal time to come in, January for me would have been a better time. Mm. Getting new players coming in, getting his team right. He has to hit the ground running. So what are your expectations of the new manager between now and even January before, you know, you can change things around?
First, John, I'd like to say, you know, it may have sounded that I was against Brendan. I'm not at all. I think he's a good coach. I think he'll bounce back into football and do real well. I think things just got to him, you know, at the end there. And he was unfortunate with a lot of injuries. So I'd like to say that before I go, because a lot of people may think from this interview that I was against him. I'm not. I just think some of the buyers weren't as good as they should be. I think if it's Jurgen Klopp coming in, I think he's better fitted and better suited to coming in here because for long term, I like the fact, you know, that some of the press are saying that he gets his team close around him and they run through brick walls. That's what it's all about, JB. You know me.
Absolutely.
So I think that would be good. And I think even though Ancelotti is a charismatic man, I don't think he would be a short-term fix rather than a long-term fix. And I think you're right when you said it before, is that is that Klopp would build for the future and looks to be more, you know, doesn't work on big budgets, so he's going to be brilliant. And I think what he needs to do is come in and stabilise very quickly. And maybe some of the players need a little bit more loving. Some of them may need a right kick up the backside to say, listen, do your jobs properly, and you've got to be more consistent. Otherwise, you know, all your jobs are on, you know, the jobs are on the line. I think it has to get to that harsh stage, JB, that certain people are underperforming in a Liverpool shirt, and it needs now for them to have a big wake up call and say, listen, every time I pull on a red shirt, I'm going to give my best. You won't fault me for effort. You'll have a go at me for not having a good game, but you won't fault me for effort. And I'm not seeing at all times a lot of effort, you know, as much effort as needs to be in a Liverpool shirt. So I think he needs to sort out the defence. I do, and I'll stick by that. I think that's a big thing to address, because I think we've got a lot of players that can go the other way. Now that Sturridge is back, I think there's goals. And I think, you know, and get Benteke back. Obviously, you need your captain back, Henderson, because he gives you a bag full of energy. Once everyone's back, I can see him stabilising quite quickly, if it's him. Because I like the way he goes about his football. I like the way that his side played. And they weren't full of stars, you know, and they weren't getting big wages. So maybe he can attract a few. Maybe he can bring some of the players that maybe he's had in the past to come to Liverpool. And then, you know, in the January window and just push us on again. So I'm hoping he just comes in, stabilises. And often, John, when you have a new manager come in, that freshness gives you a little bit of lift as well. A different way of coaching, a different way of being spoken to. Hopefully that'll pay dividends, you know, immediately, and it needs to be immediate.
More than immediate, in my opinion, it needs to be long term, because as you say, rightly, we've seen that immediately and then things level off.
Yep.
I want all Liverpool fans, everybody listening, to remember not just this podcast, but look at what people are saying about Jurgen Klopp, because they say that about every manager when he comes into a club.
Yep.
2 years later, if it doesn't work out, let's hear what people are saying about him then. But remember, from my perspective, I supported Brendan Rodgers 100%. I support Liverpool Club Football Club more, so Brendan Rodgers is not there anymore. I support the decision, whoever they bring in.
Yep.
The new manager is going to need time, he's going to need support. So if in 18 months' time we're 10th in the league, and people are going to be saying, I hope it's not you, Wrighty, because here you've said you've nailed the colours to the mask, Jurgen Klopp's going to do a fantastic job. And we've seen it in the past with a lot of players, and this is why I empathise with Brendan Rodgers,
yeah,
who said, Brendan, when they finished second, Brendan was great and what have you, and now all of a sudden, let's hope that Jurgen Klopp is giving the time and giving the support. And from the fans' perspective, we support the football club. The only way the football club is going to progress and win football matches is if we support, even in the bad times.
And give
Bill
them time.
Bill Shankly says, it can't support us in the good times. In the bad times, don't support us in the good times. And I think that's what Jurgen Klopp's going to need, because Jurgen Klopp is not the messiah. No. If you look at the where we are now in terms of the players we have and where we are, it is going to take time.
It is.
So I'm urging all the fans, if it's Carlo Ancelotti, whoever it is, to support the club, and hopefully we can move forward. So thanks very much for listening, and we see you again soon.